It's the Live at 8.5 Morning Startup. Joining us on the phone is Ryan Goldman of Mother Mother. How you doing, man?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
We're doing very well, and it's so weird not having you guys pop by the studios in Ottawa. It's one of those things that I think we could set our watch to when it came to great bands rolling through the capital. I know we were excited to have you last year, and then of course everything got canceled, and it sort of became a bit of a bummer. But at least we get new music now, I want to say awesome in a different way.
Please elaborate. I want to hear about this different way the awesomeness presents itself in your brain.
In my brain, it presents itself in a really cool way because what I found with the new song, I Got Love, is it takes me back to 2008. It kind of has a bit of that old school Mother Mother vibe that when we first had you guys drop by the Live Lounge all those years ago for one of our intimate shows, that sound, your voice sounds raw in it. And I want to know if that was something that you were looking for when you were writing this song.
Well, that was something we wanted to channel for the record as a whole, and this song really lent itself to those traits, those raw, human, perfectly imperfect production traits. And I don't know why we wanted to do that. Maybe because we're all just getting so real right now because this pandemic is just like putting everything into perspective. It's really like, debunking anything artificial and really forcing us to root to what's important. And usually that is something along the lines of real, authentic humanity. So perhaps that's why we kind of wanted to inject this record with that feeling.
It's interesting that you talk about an authentic feel and a raw humanity, because kind of out of nowhere, last year, late summer, early fall, Mother Mother blew up with a few songs on TikTok. And TikTok is one of those places that I don't know. I'm still having trouble grasping whether if that is like a new bastion of the authentic or the human. Is that sort of, does it hit you like that kind of new vanguard of social media?
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time on TikTok over the past 6 months, and I think there's two sides. I think there's a real authentic side. And then, like any social media, there's the dark side of narcissism and artificiality. But, that doesn't seem to be the crew that I'm spending time with. Like this younger demographic that have connected to early Mother Mother music, they feel really authentic and really unique and really individualistic and self-expressive. And to be honest, I'm learning how to be more authentic just by hanging out with them on TikTok. It's been beautiful, and I would say it's even making me like a better person. I don't know if I could be any better of a person than I already was. But I think it's happening, guys. Sarcasm. Well, sarcasm.
How are those fans different than your original fans when you talk about the difference with these ones? What is it about them compared to your old fans like us?
They're younger. Like, they're younger than our fans were even when we were young. Like, that's how young they are. Like, even when we came out back in the day, we were kind of vibing with the 18 to 26 demographic. That was the biggest demographic. But, like, these kids are, like, 8, 9, all the way up to 15, like, in that zone. And so they're just like these young Gen Z, super, progressive, super like free expression, new type of people. So I don't think, culture has seen this type of people yet. This is like the first of its kind. It's pretty exciting.
Once, well, how would you compare it to like the hippies of the 60s then?
I think, there's always like an impetus to have counterculture in the young demographic in any era. And that's what's happening right now. It's just presenting itself in a new and different way. It's less about long hair and it's more about gender fluidity and freedom of individuality, whatever that may look like.
That still sounds kind of like the 60s. I guess it's maybe it's just technology that's changed.
Well, yeah, and then technology provides a much different platform for that to present itself. I mean, gosh, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I'm just an old, naive indie rocker, but it's all fascinating, and it's all a big learning curve.
Well, aside from TikTok, which you said you learned this year, what is something that you picked up during lockdown, isolation, weirdness of 2020 into now?
I got more into taking pictures. I've always liked photography, but I was more like just taking photos on my phone kind of person. But I graduated to using like a real camera. And so I did a lot of photo walks during lockdown. Because you were allowed to walk, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the picture that you love the best or love the most that you took? Is there one that was just striking to you?
I grew obsessed with taking kind of dystopian, beautiful pictures of caution tape tangled up in swing sets. So I kind of had a running series of those, which I quite liked, and it really was pertinent to the time, right?
Yeah. That's wow, intense, man.
Well, you know, they were everywhere. Like all these playgrounds were just like caution taped up. Like you couldn't help but notice the dichotomy.
Yeah. Right. It's the Live 85 Morning Startup. We are talking to Ryan Goldman of Mother. And, you know, one of the big jumps here for the new music and the new record is that you guys were on Universal. You've made the jump to Warner. Is that a better home for what Mother is now?
It's our new home, and we're very, very excited to be there. You know, we've always been a fan of Warner. Really great people, really great culture at the label. And it's exciting, man. Yeah, it's really exciting. It's a time of a lot of newness, new record, new label, new world, you know, coming out of this thing. We're feeling it.
Does it, new record, hopefully eventually some kind of new tour. How do you envision the first show you guys will play in front of a crowd? What does that look like to you?
You know, I think it's going to be so like spirited and euphoric and just connected. Spittle will be flying. You know, mouths will be open. Masks will be off. It will be beautiful. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say it, but who knows? Orgies? I don't know. It could be crazy. Could be crazy.
What year is this that you envision?
I don't know, God. I'm always hesitant to forecast because I don't want to be let down anymore.
What song in the set list will the orgy break out in?
I Got Love, baby.
Clearly. What's something that you remember about Ottawa, Ryan, just thinking off the top of your head?
That, you just put me on the spot. Where is that again?
I know, but that's just it. Is it anything you remember, or are we just another city on the map?
No, you're absolutely not another city on the map. I just feel like my answer is boring. I think Ottawa is beautiful. I love the architecture. I love the Parliament buildings. I remember like our first show at Zaphod's and how killer the vibe was there. And how that kind of set the tone for such a great relationship with the fans and the city.
That's awesome. That's a great memory for a lot of Ottawa people for music and specifically for Mother.
Yeah, I mean, there was like 20 people at that show, but it was
I was going to say, it's
ripping.
A small venue.
And it was barely attended, but it was ripping. It just had the most electric feel. And, I think it's kind of like first impressions on the road really do set the tone for the years that come after. Like, it's always been such a cherished stop for us because I think of that first Zaphod show.
So thinking through the past year, through the pandemic, you talked about going for walks, but I mean, you're a pretty buff dude. A lot of people put on a couple extra pounds. Did you put on the COVID-19 as well?
You know what? I think I like really thinned out this year because I herniated my disc in my lumbar spine. Just a brutal injury. And so like I couldn't do any kind of physical activity. I still can barely like exercise, and it's been six months. So you know, I just kind of got like thin. I lost all my muscles. It's kind of a drag.
Well, that's better than eating chips.
Well, I mean, a good way to, like, I don't know, not eat chips, I find, maybe I'm just vain, but it's like, you know, being in a band, you got that like ensuing album cycle and like the photos and the videos are like, oh man, like I got to keep my stuff, you know, in shape here. Otherwise, that's going to be a really awful experience and no one wants to see those photos. So
it's your upcoming wedding day or something. You need to look good.
Yeah, it's just like perpetual wedding photos. Like, I can't wait till we break up so there's no more band photos and I can just like crush the chips.
I love that we have aspirational jeans and he has tour pants.
I'm going to be cheesy for a second and ask, what's something that's made you dance this year and something that's made you cry?
Cry. Oof. Jesus, I need to learn how to do that better. You know what? Like when I write songs, like when I was writing this record, one of the main barometers of whether or not song makes it is if I start dancing by myself. And I certainly danced when I was writing I Got Love, and there was a couple of others. One in particular that I was just like just partying by myself when I wrote it because I was just so into it. And cry. Oh, Jasmine's dad in the band, her dad passed away and we were super tight. And I cried for him. I cried for that loss.
That's beautiful. Have you become a Zoom video conference expert like the rest of us?
I'm no expert. Technology is allergic to me. It wants to not work in my presence. It's like an energy thing. I don't know what it is. Stuff is always going wrong on the Zoom, on whatever. I'm surprised we've made it this far in this call.
That's because the tech is all on my end. We're fine.
But I'm still holding a phone.
Oh, God. Don't jinx this.
But what was a weird thing you've seen on Zoom? Maybe you were on the call and it wasn't necessarily your fault, but something you've been like, oh man, just watching from the other side.
Well, like the weirdest thing I see is like when you play music for someone and then the normal thing would be to have like a reaction, but their face is just like staring back at you on the screen, totally blank and a dead silence. You're like, oh my God, this is awful. that's happened a couple of times.
Okay. What's the best thing you watched this year since pandemic started? I guess everyone's been watching or recommending something.
I think it was Chernobyl.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good call. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially good during like a apocalyptic type pandemic.
Exactly. Like, yeah. This is
real.
When you mentioned not getting along with technology, but yet, I mean, you've got a camera that you're going out and taking pictures with. That's technology. You're in the studio all day long, and your recordings are pristine. Like, you clearly live in a technological world, and you know how to use it.
I'm, like, bad at relationships with people, but super loyal to, you know, my gadgets and devices, even though I'm just inept in the romance of it. If that makes sense. Like, I won't give up on technology. Even though I suck, I'll just show up every day and just try to make it work. Because I, you know, it is the vehicle to express myself artistically. And so I have to. But I, like, you know, you hear a nice sounding recording, but just know that it was born from Ryan flailing through the technological process.
Just to follow up to that. So will then you get frustrated if somebody's listening off of a crappy MP3 and some earbuds that you just know that the sound is not good enough for what you've made?
No, I think that what you make needs to transcend poor audio, because I've listened to incredible songs that just scream glory out of the phone. Because they're incredible songs. And I've listened to mediocre songs that were recorded to utter sonic perfection that fall limp in the iPhone just because the song isn't there. So I'm a firm believer that, like, you're better off with a bad recording and a great song than the other way around.
Someone to help, of course, navigate the technological world is Howard Redekop, you brought back for this record. And what was it like rekindling that relationship and having him come in and help you navigate these songs?
It was great because he's a real purist, and we are brothers and dear friends more than we are anything. So it was just lovely to reunite and spend time with him in that way. But then also it was just very serendipitous and sentimental, sonically speaking, because this earlier music was starting to take off. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make a record that was raw and human, that breathed. And we could really channel something that we had already done and was successful in that, and sort of, you know, kind of take off from where we left.
Just like press play on a pause.
Yeah, it was sort of like, okay, we just spent 10 years apart. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. And like, this record is the record after Oh My Heart.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Brian, you've got two women in the band, Molly and Jasmine. Do you find yourself going to them even more than usual, asking questions to make sure maybe you're not saying something wrong? Is there like a fear of cancel culture?
I think cancel culture certainly is affecting how everybody is perhaps writing their lyrics, or affecting how lyricists are writing their lyrics. Whether or not a lyricist cares, that filter is probably now a part of the process. It certainly has become part of my process. But in looking back, I think you always kind of like, okay, how is this going to land?
Yeah.
You know, publicly. And I guess the nature to which sensitivity grows or decreases in a given era is how liberal one might feel. Right now we're living in a very, very sensitive time, or what people say is really important and has a really profound effect on those who hear it. So I think that might make for some good words written down, because it might force people to kind of push through a little harder than what they would just do naturally, and go a little deeper and see from more angles and become more objective. I think I turned this into a different question.
It does make sense. You made a great point that, yeah, it always was a part of the process, maybe a little more now, and it does force you to maybe be a little more creative and think of a different angle, like exactly what you just said.
Yeah, I think it might be helping the vernacular grow. But, you know, there's a dark side to everything, too. Like, cancel culture has a dark side.
Is there someone who got canceled you think shouldn't have?
No one comes to mind. Okay. How about that?
Fair enough.
I feel like that's a cancel culture slippery slope. Yeah.
That's censoring yourself in cancel culture.
Trying to trap you.
Whoa. Ryan Goldman from Mother Mother. The new song is called I Got Love. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun conversation, and for all the support over the years and moving forward. It just means the world to us. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks so much. Say hey to the rest of the band for us. We miss you guys a lot.
Absolutely will. Take care.